This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back to The Morning Run. You're here with Lin Chuang and Shaoning. RHB Bank has gotten approval from Bank Negara to commence negotiations to sell its insurance business to Tokio Marine Asia. And this disposal would allow RHB to focus more on growing its core banking business. And they've said they're going to be using the cash for commercial banking operations, reinvestment into debt securities in order to generate returns, as well as a distribution of distribution as a special dividends.
Yeah, this is seen as a good deal by the street, i.e. the analyst, right? Because, for example, Hong Kong Investment Bank said that notes that the insurance business is only 2 to 3% earnings accretive to RHB Bank, and if they sell at a 2.35 times price to book ratio, there could be as much as 800 million ringgit for distribution to shareholders in terms of capital management. So that's good dividends, lah.
Yeah, and it's not really much of a surprise, right? I think some of the investment notes also mentioned that this was has been talked about since 2015, 2016.
Yeah,
because it's a good time to sell.
Yeah, it's also because insurance is not really a core business for RHB. If you look at in terms of contribution to earnings, it's only about 2 to 3% to its bottom line. So even if they sell this, there's no material impact on their earnings. Mm. And it's not like they're not going to be in the insurance business, because likely what they'll do is have a banker assurance tie-up with Tokio Marine. So Tokio Marine will continue to sell its products through RHB Bank, and then they get a fee income, which is perfect.
And it could be good news as well for shareholders, because analysts are saying that this could be room for a special dividend payout. So currently their payout ratio is at 36%. So that's below the sector's average of 45%. But RHB's risk-reward portfolio is quite strong. Its CET1 ratio is about 16%, higher than the average for the sector, 13.4%.
Yeah, but insurance seems to be also hot in this in the news in the recent days, because we have a new Takaful player in town. FWD Takaful launched its brand. Now, this is owned by Richard Lee, youngest son of Lee Ka-shing, the famous billionaire in Hong Kong that wears a Seiko watch.
Richard Lee, the one who, was he the one who lied about his credentials? He didn't go to Stanford or something?
Way back when. And the other shareholders of FWD Takaful are our very own EPF with 20%. And another billionaire in that group, Robert Kwok, through his investment vehicle JAB Capital, who owns 31%. Now, FWD Takaful was actually formerly a HSBC Amana Takaful. So its ambition is to achieve 15% market share within 5 years.
Yeah, so that would place it at number 5. It's currently 11 out of 12 players. Currently, the company has less than 2% of the market. So FWD Group Emerging Markets MD Binayak Duta also has said that 1 billion ringgit will be invested in the Takaful business, and the growth will likely be through their agency business. So they're expecting to have about 600 agents registered by the end of this year. They currently have about 120, so that's going to be significant growth there. And another 250 are being registered so far as well as an emphasis on online sales.
So basically, FWD is actually quite big. They've spent more than $6 billion on half a dozen deals in the last 6 years. They've got a presence in Hong Kong, Singapore, Japan, Thailand, Indonesia, Malaysia, the Philippines and Vietnam. So that's basically an ASEAN profile. And the next thing they're going to buy? China. An IPO expected in the second half of next year, depending on progress in China. And if they do work out well, that's good for us, because with 20% ownership belonging to EPF, that will mean a better dividend for us.
Well, I'm not sure whether the international business is what EPF is related to, or it's just the Malaysian business. But for sure, if you look at the Takaful market in Malaysia alone, if we segmentize it, it's probably one of the least underinsured markets. Penetration rates for the Muslim Sharia insurance is the lowest, actually. So if you ask me why they're moving to Takaful, it makes a lot of sense. Because this market is relatively untapped. Whether we will see more M&As in insurance, it will be interesting. Because this is probably one of those that's happening. And then bear in mind, we still have this ongoing thing for the life insurance. For some of the foreign insurance guys, there is this requirement, right, to have a local shareholder.
Yeah, so the M&A field is really dependent on valuations, right? Because as we've seen, and with how Great Eastern has innovated along those paths with MySalam, it's not really a market which has been replete with buyers. A lot of sellers, but not many buyers at the valuations sort.
Yeah, because it's always, if you ask me, how do you value an insurance company? That is really technical and difficult. Do you value it based on the book, or do you value it in terms of new business created? And if you ever look at an insurance company annual report, let me say it's one of the most complicated annual reports to ever digest.
And they hire some of the big, most technical boffins, right? Actual scientists.
Exactly.
Well, so then you should, they should look into hiring Kusu Chuang roster, considering discombobulated and cornucopia today. Well, taking a look also at some other local news this morning. According to Straits Times Singapore, our finance ministry's proposal for highway takeover has been paused for a re-examination of the price. So it was reported that some believed the offer was excessive. Others argued the projected revenue may not allow for the acquisition to be self-funded. So an unnamed minister said that the proposal is on hold pending a full review.
Well, the same minister has said that the finance minister, Lim Guan Eng, had presented the plan to the public and made offers for Gamuda-linked concessionaires without the cabinet's agreement. And obviously that fueled detractors' suspicions that the two issues were linked. And then another unnamed person, there's a lot of unnamed people in the story, anonymity hiding behind it. An unnamed DAP leader confirmed the internal resistance to the proposal from Lim's ministry. And apparently the finance ministry views Lim's proposal as good, but it has taken on an unfortunate political twist. So there's much more than meets the eye, clearly.
And there's more mystery after this. Because after the Straits Times reported a pause on the takeover, The Edge then says that there's no such review, and this is another source familiar with the matter said. Now, the source told The Edge that the Singapore Straits Times was slanted with an agenda.
Wow. What is going on?
There's no review, and that the Ministry of Finance is in the midst of submitting a cabinet paper for the final approval.
So this is rapidly turning into a battle between The Edge and the Straits Times.
The mystery thickens with their sources.
Or more intriguingly, vested interests, right? Because why would you have one way or the other, right? Because there's money to be made on either direction.
Yeah, so The Edge also said that when contacted, Gamuda's representative said the government hasn't notified them about anything regarding the proposed takeover. And the Prime Minister's office also emphasized the decision to take over the highways was subject to cabinet approval. And I think there definitely is, you can't escape a political slant when you're talking about highway takeovers, because this is something that was mooted way before Pakatan even managed to make it into office.
So do you know why the intrigue? 6.2 billion ringgit. Mm-hmm. That's why. And that's B, not M, B. So that's a lot of money.
Yeah.
Right? Do you know what I mean, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
And I mean, it's a question mark whether what's happening. I mean, we really don't know, right? I guess we'll have to find out later on whether the minister will actually come out and say anything about this. So far, there hasn't been any official statement from the finance minister.
Yeah, so I expect something maybe in the next couple of days. But in the meantime, the uncertainty is no good, because it's no good for the market, no good for investors, certainly no good for toll users or toll road users.
It's not good for Lytrack share price.
It's not good for Lytrack share price or Gamuda share price.
Yeah, it was down. Lytrack was down 4% yesterday.
You say Lytrack, I say Litrack. You say potato, I say potato.
Tomato. Now, if we remember, Putrajaya announced the takeover in June, saying a special purpose vehicle would raise 6.2 billion to finance the acquisition of the Sprint, the LDP, and the Smart. And instead of current toll rates, the government may implement a congestion charges during peak hours. Now, aside from that, the other story on the local front today is that loan growth has slowed to 4.2% year on year. And this was due to a deceleration in household loans as well as in business lending, and below some expectations for 2019 as well. So loan applications also fell in June, down 11.7% versus May of the same year.
Did you say 4.2%? It must be the first time that loans growth has actually lagged GDP expectations, because, I mean, for the longest time, Malaysia has had loans growth on a multiple of GDP. I remember those good old days in the mid-2010s.
There used to be a multiple.
14-15% loans growth, GDP 4-5.5%.
When the economy is booming, it's easy. You can have a multiple of 2 times. So whatever your GDP times 2, that's your loans growth.
So what happens
now? But that
now?
Ratio has continuously declined.
Correct.
In the
last 10 years. So the inflection point has happened.
Yeah.
So with Jerome Powell now cutting rates, obviously, the central banks around the world have to follow suit. Well, they don't have to, right? But Malaysia's already...
At 3%.
Right?
Yeah.
There's
OPR.
Much more room for Malaysia to cut if growth continues to taper.
But there were no expectations for a cut at this point in Malaysia, right? Because we were one of the earliest to cut rates initially.
So that's the thing the market is undecided upon, right, in Malaysia.
Mm. I think it's just, if you look at the loans growth number, it's probably also indicative of this thing called confidence, right? So rates are already very low.
If no one is borrowing at low rates, then, right?
Yeah, maybe people
but
just...
But cutting more won't solve the won't solve it.
So it's whether businesses want to actually increase their investments. And the last round, we did see private investment numbers kind of faltering off. And this is confirming that story.
There's a direct correlation between property markets and equity markets and business confidence, because the more frothy one is, the more confident one is.
Exactly.
Then, so average lending rates also declined by four basis points versus a 2 basis point drop in the 3-month bond fixed deposit. And in turn, the spread compressed by 2 basis points to just shy of 2%. Now, we are running a poll this morning on the BFM Twitter account because we're asking you how long should Tun Mahathir stay on as Prime Minister? Do tell us why. The options are until 2020, until next general elections, or sometime in between. So do let us know, because we will be taking a look at the results of the poll throughout the rest of the morning. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.